Good morning, friend, and welcome once again to the broadcast of Calvary Baptist Church. This is Pastor Bray, and welcoming you, and hope that the scriptures that we'll be looking at this morning, as it ties in with the last 2 weeks, and I couldn't wait to get here this morning to get the message and just finish out this text of scripture from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. You'll remember, and we'll get to it here in just a little bit, but you'll remember we talked a couple of weeks ago about a great house being an individual's life. I mean, you got priorities, you got passions, you got challenges, you got all kinds of things going on. Well, that's called in this particular book and in this particular text, a great house. He uses the analogy of you go into a big house, in a nice house, and there's vases of great expense and value. You go over here, and well, there's a piece of furniture, and over here, well, maybe a gym set or something else going on. In other words, there's all kinds of things in a big house. Well, the Bible says in a great house, and really the application is in a person's life, there are different things, some to honor and some to dishonor. And that's why we've got to be able to discern, oh, what should I do? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Maybe it's a good thing at sometimes, but it's not appropriate for now. Maybe it's a good thing all the time. Maybe it's a bad thing all the time. Well, we've learned from that text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, that we need to be able to discern those things that are not profitable, those things that are not good, because if we allow them to stay, well, that tells you about what's going to happen. We'll become spiritual hoarders, and we'll just kind of, anything that comes in, we just attach it and we put it in our lives, and we just got a mess. Well, how do we discern? How do we know what is right, what's wrong, what's positive, what's negative, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate? Well, that was last week's Sunday's message, and that was from verse number 15. Excuse me. You'll remember, verse 15 says this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." You'll remember the word study means to hasten to or to exert oneself. In other words, don't lollygag around. When you're looking at your life and you're trying to figure out, is this important or not? Is this appropriate now for not or not? Is this ever an appropriate thing or is this always an appropriate thing? Well, he's saying here, go after it. Don't just kind of, well, it doesn't really matter. I know how I was reared or I know what Brother Bray says or I know what Grandma said or whatever. No, go after it. Study the Word. That's the standard for those in the family of God. He says, study to show thyself. And you remember approved? It was kind of an interesting word. You remember the coin? Maybe it was a gold coin, maybe a silver coin, that the mentor, when he put the molten element into the mold, whether it was gold or silver, whatever it was, and a dishonest one, after it came out of the mold, he would shave off the rough edges, but he shaved a little bit extra to where, it was taking away from the value of the coin. So when he gave it to Schnortzky or Flugelhorn or whatever the guy's name was, that fellow would think, hey, I'm getting a genuine thing. It's worth its weight in gold or it's worth its weight in silver. When unsuspecting to him, it got shaved off more than it should have been. So now he's paying a price for more than what he's getting. So he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. The word approved has the idea that it's been weighed and it's measured exactly right. So he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Here we go. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In other words, once it's examined, you're not going to be ashamed of it because, you know, I paid the right price for the right amount. No need to be ashamed about it. And he's talking about our walk with the Lord and our lives before others. Is we don't want to be ashamed before others that we were a phony Christian or we were this or that or the other. No. When we get to heaven, we don't want to be ashamed, certainly then, before God at the judgment seat of Christ for Christians. Now, if someone's not saved, they don't go to the judgment seat of Christ. They go to what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. You can read all about that in the book of the Revelation and the book of the Apocalypse, Revelation chapter 21 and the beginning of 22. So, that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about here for right now anyway, for those in the family of God, that we make sure that we are studying to show ourselves approved unto God. And when we do that, it says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Here's the discernment that you're going to need in the great house. He says, right, this is verse 15, rightly dividing, there's the discernment, the word of truth. The word of truth. Oh, you and I could talk about all kinds of activities that we do that if we have we don't have the right formula, or we don't have the right procedure, or we don't have the right attitude, we not a lot about that, couldn't we? But when we're wrong, even though we don't know it, we may be sincere, but sincerely wrong. Sometimes it can have devastating results. Boy, I don't want a doctor just to be sincere. I want him to be sincerely right. If I'm having a heart attack or whatever else, I want somebody that really knows what they're doing. If they're using the paddles, I don't want him to go, hey, let's try that. Put it between his ears or on his ears to go between his ears. Well, in my case, that might actually help a little bit. Well, let's don't get any ideas on that. But anyway, that's what he's talking about here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, talks about a great house, your life and mine as children of God, those who've accepted Christ, that we have to be able to discern truth from error. What's a priority over lesser priorities? What's appropriate at an occasion and maybe not appropriate at other occasions? Well, as you and I study, we think about it, we go to the Word of God because that's the standard for everything. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, for life and godliness. And so when you and I understand the Word of God provides the insight, the Word of God, the will of God for everything that's in our lives so that we absolutely know. Well, as a matter of fact, just one chapter away, it says, all Scripture, that's the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, God breathed. And then he tells us why. It is profitable for doctrine. That's telling us the standard. Whether someone's dating, all right? Whom should I date? What is the standard I'm looking for in a guy or in a gal? Or maybe it's our work ethic. What's the standard? Whatever the occasion of life is, the Word of God gives it. So it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, and it is profitable, the Word of God is, for doctrine, that's the standard, for reproof. That's when we're not meeting the standard. We're going in the wrong direction. We've got a wrong attitude, wrong ambition, wrong action. And he tells us in the Word of God what's not to have in our lives, all right? So it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That's telling us when we're wrong. Oh, I like the next one. For correction, that's telling us how to get back right. I am famous in my family, with Becky and me, I am famous if I think, oh, I ought to go right. I ought to just go ahead and turn left. Now, Becky's just the opposite. She just has that inward compass, and she can say out in the middle, it could be a dark, it could be everything else. She'd say, Randy, I think we ought to turn right. Well, you know how it goes, guys. Yes, I. Well, sweetheart, I really think this is the way we ought to go. You sure, Randy? Yeah, I think so, yeah. And I'll turn left, and it won't be too long until I should have put my manly pride aside and just said, you know what? You were right all along, Becky. And we do a U-turn in a few miles or whatever it is. And so my directional abilities are challenging. But when we come to the Word of God, he tells us exactly how to get right with God. When we've made mistakes, whether they're sincere or belligerent or whatever it is, and we're repentant and we want to get right with God, it says for correction. And then he doesn't stop there. He says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Here we go. For instruction in righteousness. Oh, that's how to stay right with God. You don't have to get off the wrong road anymore. Just stay on the right road. Why? It says that the man of God may be perfect. It doesn't mean sinless. It has the idea of complete. It's just the way it's supposed to be. That the man of God may be perfect. And here we go. Thoroughly furnished. Because we studied, we are approved, we studied the standard, approved unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, listen, friend, I'm so glad you tuned in today. And now that we kind of have the introduction of where we've come from 2 weeks ago and last week, we're going to get into some exciting scriptures this morning in verse number 22. I call it the 222 formula from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. But just before we get there, I would love on this Sunday morning, early this Sunday morning, to extend an invitation from my heart to yours, dear friend, to come and visit with us today at Calvary Baptist. We're not hard to find. We're right here on Haywood Road, 2501 Haywood Road. Just go on down. If you're coming from downtown on the Asheville Highway, you come to the stoplight there, just by the school, a little after the school. You turn left on Haywood Road. You'll go down, I guess, about a mile and a half, something like that. And you'll go past one church. You go past Pyre Squared Pizza. Boy, that's a good place to eat. We ate there last week. And you go on just a little bit further on the left, and you'll see Calvary Baptist Church on the left. You'll see the large cross right at the top of the parking lot there. And, oh, my goodness, we'd love to have you. Now, Sunday school begins at 9:30, so if you're going to come, you're going to have to skedoodle to get there by 9:30. But if you come to the morning service, it's not until 10:30. And my goodness, we would love to have you come and be a part of the morning service. I'd love to meet you personally. We had a couple of visitors with us two, three visitors with us last Sunday. And we would love for you to be among them this morning at 10:30. Of course, our evening service is at 5 o'clock. This evening service is at 5 o'clock. And we are in Philippians chapter 3, verse by verse, going through the book of Philippians. Oh, it is so good. It's so practical for our lives. You know how it is when you kind of cool outside and you go and you get to the closet. And, oh, there's two or three options for a jacket to wear. And sometimes one jacket just fits better than the other. It really does. The others are, they'll keep you warm and keep you halfway dry and knock off the wind or whatever. But, oh, that's the jacket I'm going to wear today. It just feels good. It just feels right. The sleeve length is right. It's just right. Well, that's what we talk about when we're talking about what God's doing in our lives. And the book of Philippians is just like that jacket. It is so practical, and it helps us in our daily walk with the Lord as well as our walk with others. And so we'll be doing that tonight, and I would love to have you with us at that time. One last thing, just before we get to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, and that is, again, I welcome any one of you to call and say, Pastor Bray, I have a burden on my heart. I have someone who's going through a very difficult time, or maybe it is you, dear radio friend, that's going through the challenging time. And if you have someone in the hospital you'd like me to go visit, all you have to do is call, and just call us here at the church at 693-6014, 693-6014 here in Hendersonville, 828, of course, is the area code. And just let me know who it is and your name, and I will be more than happy to go by and have a word of prayer with them and see whatever I can do to be a blessing. All right, well, with all that in mind, let's go to the book of the 2 Timothy chapter 2, and love to be at this text. Now, we've already looked at, studied to show, so that's, we need to have discernment. And why do we need to have discernment? Verses 19 through 21, because we have a big house. My life has a lot of aspects to it. It may be romance, it may be business, it may be home, it may be conflict, maybe it's, whatever it is, the Word of God has the answers. So now let's look how we are to position ourselves as Christians. All right, let's follow with it. This is verse number 22. This is right after 21. Aren't you glad you listened today and learned that 22 comes after 21? Well, I knew that you knew that. But let's get a running start to verse 21. Now, he's talking about the great house. If we have things in there that aren't good, they need to be purged out. This is what he says. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the things that in the great house were not appropriate or not right, get rid of those things. The Bible says he, that Christian, shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, that's kind of a 30-cent word that means to be set apart to God, set apart from things that violate Bible principle, things of the world, all right? So he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. That's an old English word that has the idea of fitting. Just being ready, and you're the right thing, doing the right thing for the right time, and you're the right person for the right occasion. And meet for the master's use, not only that, and the last phrase is, and prepared unto every good work. So in other words, there's no encumbrances, nothing that's going to hold you back from accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. You may have the right tools, but the wrong attitude. Not going to get there. You may have the right attitude, but the wrong tools. Not going to get there. But when you and I follow the Lord's leadership and maturing in Christ, according to the Word of God and in the gifts and talents God's given us, we develop those for His glory and for others' good. when all that comes together, oh my goodness, we'll be meet for the Master, no matter what he calls us to do. Now let's look at 2 Timothy 2:22. This is really important because if we don't do it, the other's going to, it's not going to work. We'll be disqualified. So let's look at it quickly. I'll just read it in its entirety. This is verse 22, and then we'll go back and look at it a little bit as time allows us to do. We have still had plenty good time this morning. All right, here we go. The Apostle Paul wrote this, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now I'm going to read it one more time at a little faster clip so it kind of just all sinks together. All right, here we go. Paul wrote, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Oh, my friend, if you and I will get this quartet, we can call it. There's four of them. We'll put these four, like four tires on a wheel, or four tires on a car. Hopefully you don't have four tires on one wheel. That would be kind of a challenge. But four tires on a car that provides direction, provides stability, provides all kinds of things. But he says here, if you want to be a student of the Word of God so that you can discern and applying it to your life, so that you can be ready for the Master's use, so you get rid of the things that are not appropriate and make sure the things that are appropriate and righteous are in your life, he gives us a simple way to do it. It's all found in one little verse and also in one little sentence. I had to look at it there for a second to make sure it wasn't two. But when he said, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart," let's kind of take it apart just a little bit, okay? The word "flee" there, you heard the old statement, just pick them up and put them down. That's basically what it means. It means to get away from. Well, you know, it's just really something. Now, my wife and I, the Lord is allowing us to build a house in the Edneyville area. And we bought a lot. It's actually almost 2 acres, but it was all woods. And it's right off of Bear Wallow Road. I actually live in Bear Wallow Glen. Well, you get the idea that maybe there's a bear or two somewhere around. And as I've been tromping through there sometimes at dusk and things like that, and I hear a limb break or something, and I'm looking around, all right, is Smokey the Bear out there? Or what's going on, you know? And usually it's just a limb that fell from a tree. But nonetheless, it's not a bad thing. When you think there might be a bear, or they say there's coyotes out there as well. So it's not a bad thing to kind of be on your guard. Well, here it says flee. That means pick them up and put them down. And not necessarily with your best tennis shoes on. He's talking about your attitudes. Remember, study to show thyself. Remember where he said in verse number 19, he said the foundation and the great house and all of that, and some are to honor and some to dishonor. Well, when we see those things or those influences in our lives that are not right, God's not pleased with them, and they're not productive in the will of God as far as maturing us or enabling us to accomplish God's will. We need to be able to recognize those things by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit helping us, but we also ought to have the character in place and the predisposition, or you're already set that, boy, when I see a temptation, I'm going to run. I'm going to do what's right. Just like if I was in the woods and I saw something that was a danger to my wife or one of my grandchildren or my neighbor, I wouldn't just go, I probably ain't going to bother them. No, I need to do something about it. And even when it's in my own life, and that's why he's saying here, flee. That means when you recognize God's not pleased with this, don't just play around with it. A number of years ago, I was at a mall. Now, that's for me, that's about an annual event. I try to stay away from malls all I can. But this has been several years ago, and I was there, and I don't even remember why I was there. It was probably get my wife a present of some kind or other, and or my daughter or one of my sons, somebody, just something. And while I was there, they had a place where you could have your picture taken with little lion cubs. And they were really, really cute. I mean, they looked like little puppies in a way. I mean, they were just cute as they could be. And so somebody would go up and they'd hold the little iron cub, Lion Cub, not Iron Cub, Lion Cub, and the photographer would go snap, and they would have that as a souvenir. Well, what they had also in front of it, though, was a live, full-grown, mane and all, lion. Now, that lion was about 4,000 years old, probably. Well, maybe not quite that old. And probably toothless, and probably whatever. But nonetheless, it was a full-grown lion. Now, the lion was surrounded by a chain-link fence, and it was about 3 feet high, 4 feet high, maybe 4 feet high, and just as close as it could get to the lion. I mean, just, well, not as close, but didn't leave a lot of wiggle room in there. Now, he had a little room in front of him and a little room behind him, but not a lot of room to the side. Well, what happened is on either side of the lion was a place where people who were waiting to have their picture taken, they could come right alongside the lion. Now, they also had one of these little things that would keep you away, just a little guard, you know, a stand and a little rope that would keep you away, maybe about a distance of a foot and a half, 2 feet, something like that. And so I just got in, I was just curious. I thought I'd watch people as they saw the lion and all of that. And just out of fun, I just thought, well, I'm just going to sit here and watch. And it was funnier beyond my imagination. As I was there, four young men, probably college age, came by. But they weren't alone. They also had four young ladies. Here's a guy and then his gal. Another guy and another gal. Another guy and a gal. Well, you got the idea there. Four of them, right? Eight all together. And I said to myself, self, this could get interesting. And it did. As they got in line and they approached where you would pass by the lion, they were all chit-chatting and all. And the last guy in line decided he was going to be braver than the former three guys. And so I watched him as he got up close to where the lion's ears were. One side, one ear. And he reached over, and he got just as far as he could over that little chain link fence, barely reaching out, and he went, he blew in that lion's ear. And I watched it, that old lion just shook his head. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head. He shook his head and acted like he wasn't paying attention. They all giggled. Oh, they thought that was the funniest thing. And so he got a little more brave. He reached over again. And he said, quit breathing into the microphone, Brother Bray. All right, well, I will, but maybe one more time. And sure enough, the lion went like that with his ears, didn't make any noise. And he was, oh, this guy just, he was on top of the world now. All the girls were looking at him, and all the guys were envious of the attention of their girls. And so he reached forward one more time to blow in the lion's ear, and I watched as that elderly lion probably had a decade of arthritis and everything in him. I watched as that lion completely reversed himself within the confines of that little fence that was around him. You talk about bailing out. That college-age guy, I mean, he didn't need wings. He had enough leap in his legs as he was leaping backwards. And boy, did his buddies and those gals have a big time of harassing him. Now, here's my point. He underestimated by a lot the agility of an elderly, probably toothless lion that had been determined to not be a threat to anyone. And he probably wasn't. That probably took all the energy that lion had stored up for the last 2 years. But nonetheless, he was still a lion. There's a lot of young people and those not so young who toy around with temptation, who toy around and say, you know what, I can hold this, or I can have that attitude, or I can go to that place, or I can have that relationship, or I can look at that magazine, or I can look at the video or the movie or whatever it is, and it's not going to bother me. I'm mature in the Lord. I can get up close to that, and it won't bother me. And the first time, it might not. Second time, it might, but you better watch it. Sooner or later, old Lucifer, the sleuthfoot, the dragon, he knows exactly the timing and when to turn around and find yourself devoured, your testimony gone, your walk with the Lord. Oh, it's no good. until you come to that place of total repentance. Isn't it better to flee also youthful lust and to say, wait a minute, I'm going to pick them up and put them down when God shows me, yes, some others may be able to do it and not be in sin, but I can't. I can't. I'm too competitive, or I'm too whatever it is. I can't do that. God would not have that in my life. It is a wise man or lady who does that. But that's not all that he says. That's just the first word. He says, flee also youthful lust. But then he gives another very interesting word. He says, but follow. Follow. He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow. Now that is an interesting word in the original language. The word actually means this. Well, let me just tell you how it's translated otherwise. Oftentimes, that same word, dioko, is translated from the Greek into the English, whether it's the Bible or it's Socrates or whomever it was, Plato or whoever it was that wrote in the Greek language. It was translated as follow. It is also translated as persecute. Persecute? How can follow? He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow. Why would you want to persecute? No, you don't persecute. In this text, it all depends on the context as to what's going on. What do you do when you persecute someone? You run after him, don't you? You get a hold of him and you don't let go. And if you're persecuting someone, you're doing them damage. You're hurting them. Well, in this context, he's not talking about hurting him. Remember, he said, flee also youthful lust, but follow after. That means to run after, put your hands on the four things that he's going to mention here in just a moment. It's not a passive kind of a thing. You're not standing in the stands and say, go get them, team, go get them. No, this is active on your part. He says, if we're going to be the servants God wants us to be, that's verses 19 through 21, by studying the Word of God, that's verse 15, so that we can show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. When we put all of that together and it's starting to be a part of our lives, then we can come to that point where we say, all right, here's the four things that need to be in my life. Number one, to flee youthful lust. That means put them behind them as I'm running after. Notice what he says, flee also youthful lust, but follow, put your hands on these four things. Number one is righteousness. Why righteousness? According to the Word of God, that provides the direction, the place that we're supposed to be. And then he says faith. Faith provides the enablement. When we are to accomplish God's will, we have to exercise new faith in that new area of our lives. And so, okay, I'm fleeing youthful lust. I'm those things, those passions that does, they're not to be in my life. So I'm going to put my hands on righteousness. That gives the direction. Faith is my energy moving forward in the will of God. And then we'll give the last two, Lord willing, next Sunday. Oh, I wish we had time, but we're out of time. But he does say this, follow after righteous faith. Then he says charity. That's a godly love. And peace. And then he says, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, I hope the broadcast this morning, dear child of God, has encouraged you to walk with the Lord, to serve him with all of your might, and to be used of God some way every day.